every time I go to record a podcast or make a YouTube video, do something where sound quality is important, the garbage truck rolls by my house. I'm not joking. Every single time, no matter what day I decide to record or what time I record, the garbage truck comes beforehand. And I feel like it's a sign to say, don't do it right now, but I can't always not do it. Then I'll just never get anything done, you know? I am trying to take more inspired action at the moment because there's always a balance between going with the flow and not forcing things, but then also staying consistent and sticking to the plan. So last week, I was meant to do this podcast on Sunday because I really want to do one a week. And Sunday came and I had nothing in my head. Nothing was coming to me. And I took it as a sign I just wasn't meant to do one for some reason. And then I was talking to one of my clients earlier this week, I think maybe on Monday, and she was telling me how much she enjoys listening to my podcast when she's out walking. And I took that as a sign that I need to get on to doing one this week for sure, because I felt really bad that I hadn't done one last week, basically. If someone actually enjoys listening to this, I am so surprised and thankful. And so I will keep going for you, basically. Anyway, this client gave me an idea for this podcast, and it was basically, did I already say basically? I hate how I repeat words, and I'm so critical of myself at the moment. I don't know why exactly, but I'm definitely having a lot of, not issues, but my mindset at the moment is interesting. I am very much not struggling either, but like really having to work on keeping myself in a good mindset and keeping myself looking forward and not falling back into old kind of patterns of beliefs and thoughts. So I used to be very much a perfectionist. I have always thought I'm not good enough and I'm not enough and I need to be more. And that's something that's coming up a lot at the moment. And I am definitely doing my work to get through that, because that kind of thinking only holds you back. So anyway, we will continue. I'm going to talk about some of my wild solo travel adventures and lessons, perhaps, that I would not tell my parents, because if my parents knew these stories, they would probably be very worried about me, and not that they can stop me going overseas ever again, but they have a big influence on me. Even though I'm 33 years old, they still influence me a lot. So I have always loved traveling. I guess most people do, except for my sister. She doesn't really travel and hasn't, and now she's got 3 kids, so I don't see her doing that anytime soon. That's one of the reasons I'm so upset I can't travel at the moment, is because I see myself having a kid sometime, not soon. I'm like, I need to find the husband first, but you know, I would like to before I'm too old. I am turning 34 soon, so it's going to be sometime in the next 5 or so years, I would say. And I need to get all my traveling done before that, you know, because I think one of the best ways to travel is by yourself and without anything holding you back. And a kid would definitely hold me back from doing certain things. And I really think a boyfriend and a husband that hold you back from certain opportunities that come about when you travel alone. So if you are listening to this, and you are single, or if you're young, I know a lot of my clients are in their early mid-20s and early to mid-20s. And yeah, I totally recommend doing as much exploring of the world. Be safe, of course, but take that leap into the unknown and magical things happen. So Tokyo is one of my favorite places to go to. And when it kind of shaped my love of Tokyo, shaped my desire to have the job I have now. Because I always said, when I was thinking during university, what job do I want to have? I said to myself, I just want a job where I can go to Tokyo every single year without having to take annual leave. I had no idea I would have my own business back then and be my own boss. So I thought I needed a job where I could still have annual leave left to go somewhere new every year, but then I still wanted to make sure I could fit Japan in every single year. And leading up to 2020, I was doing a very good job of making Japan every year a thing because I was pretty much going there every second year, and then it was going to become every year, and then 2020 happened. So I still have so many travel credits left from last year. I had flights booked to New York. I had flights booked, like return to New York, and then flights booked to Tokyo, trips to Sydney, trips to Melbourne, and all of that got cancelled. So, like for a lot of people, having their travel plans cancelled, but not fun. Anyway, I love Tokyo. It is my favourite place in the world. I have been there 6 times now. Last year was going to be my 7th time. That is how much I love it. I sacrifice getting to go somewhere new every time I go to Tokyo, but I don't care. Like, I love it that much. I couldn't live there. I have thought about that, but I do want to be able to go there every single year. One of my favorite memories of a Japan trip. Well, I'm going to get into it, but first off, back up because I don't know if this is just because I'm old or because it was just not a thing then, or I'm dumb. So I don't know if it's because I'm old and it wasn't a thing back then, that's the one thing, or I'm dumb. I think maybe I'm just really dumb because I used to go traveling without a phone. Like, how did I get around? I don't understand. So this Japan trip, it might have been my 3rd time there. And so I knew Tokyo quite well. I know how to get around on public transport. I know how to read Japanese. I know how to speak a bit of Japanese. So the language barrier doesn't exist for me. And it's actually funny when I have gone with another Australian friend and they don't understand Japanese, I will be like, oh, let's just go to the ramen shop over there. And I'll point to it, but they won't be able to read it or kind of see it or understand what I'm actually pointing to because they can't read ramen in Japanese. Anyway, I was going to visit one of my friends. This was my excuse to get to Japan, right? I had a friend in university who studied Japanese with me for a semester, and we did a kanji project together. Ended up, he liked to party. I was the studious one. And so we had to do this joint assignment on kanji, which is one of the Japanese alphabets. And he ended up going out, I think, when we were meant to meet up to finish it. And then because he went out, he was hungover, and so he cancelled. And then we didn't get to finish it in time. We were late, and he ended up telling the university professor that his grandma had died. And that's how we got out of that one. Anyway, so my friend Sam, he moved to Japan for a while to teach English. And I was like, that's a good excuse to go to Japan. I'm going to go visit him. So I went to visit him. He was staying in this apartment with one of his English teacher friends that was out in this little suburb called Warabi. And it's like, not even in Tokyo, technically. It's in Saitama, which is the next kind of prefecture over from Tokyo. And it would take like maybe 40 minutes or so to get to Tokyo on one of their fast trains. It was like the normal train, but their trains seem to be faster than trains here. Anyway, I didn't have a phone. So I had arranged to be meeting Sam at Nippori Station at a certain time once my flight arrived from Australia. So I got into Tokyo Airport and then had to get to Nippori Station, which was fine. And I was meeting Sam at that station to then go to his apartment with him, and he would show me where it is, kind of thing. Cause I didn't have a phone, I didn't have a map, and all of that. I think I used to screenshot maps and take them, print them out, and carry them with me for important things. But yeah, it was just going to be easier to meet him and then go together to his apartment. But I had to be at Nippori Station at that particular time, and I was stressing that my flight was going to be delayed, and then Sam would be at the station, and then I wouldn't arrive, and then he would wonder where I am, and then we have no way of communicating. Like, what was I thinking going there without a phone? Like, I don't know how I got, I don't know how I survived a lot of my traveling, to be honest, because I was never street smart. A lot of my traveling has made me more street smart, but anyway. So whilst I ended up getting to Nippori Station early, and so I went and looked around the station, there's always cool little shops and stuff, and I ended up sitting down at this cafe and getting a coffee, as you do, as I do anyway. And I was sitting there, and this old Japanese man, he wasn't that old, he was maybe in his 50s, he started talking to me, and only because I was by myself, right? Like, this is how much you miss out on if you're with someone else, because generally people won't approach you then, right? But I was young and I look extra young, and then I'm sitting there by myself. Of course, people are going to talk to me, which I don't usually like, but it's led to cool things happening. And I think it's cool, but I talk back about it and think, oh my God, Jodie, you are crazy. You could have got kidnapped. The things you have done. Like, anyway, so this guy started talking to me in Japanese. I replied in Japanese, and he was super impressed, as they all are if you can speak Japanese. And then we kind of had this half English, half Japanese conversation. And somehow I ended up giving him my details so that we could catch up later in my trip. Ended up meeting Sam on time, thank goodness. I was so nervous about getting lost somehow, or like meeting him at the wrong spot, all of that. But we ended up meeting, went back to his apartment, and then it must have been like a week later, I was walking out and I was telling Sam, oh, I'm going to catch up with the guy that I met at the coffee shop. And I ended up going out for dinner with him. And this guy had money. Like, we went to this fancy restaurant where we had this like private little dining booth and our private chef, private sushi chef, in this fancy Japanese restaurant. It was ridiculous. And anything we wanted that was like off the menu, we could get. It was amazing. And then we went and had drinks after, and the guy was like trying to get me to drink more. And it's so funny because I'm very good at knowing my limits with alcohol and not crossing them. Whereas this guy, like, Japanese are not good at holding their alcohol, right? So he was like sitting there getting drunk. And then I just stood up and was like, okay, I gotta go now. Thank you. Bye. And so I left. And that's all that happened. It was totally innocent. And I won. I got a great dinner and a great experience out of it that I would never have had if I hadn't have kind of gone along with things. And of course I made sure it was safe, and it was a little bit of a risk, but it never felt like that at the time. And I think that's something that I've always been very good at, is using my intuition and knowing when something is okay and knowing when something is not okay. And I would never go into something that didn't feel like, if I felt it was gonna lead me down a wrong path, then I wouldn't go there, you know. But all my travels, I've really learned how to trust the universe, trust the signs that I'm getting, and trust my intuition, and kind of just flow with things as well. Because when I travel, I generally don't plan, and the more I've kind of gone away by myself, the more I've planned less. I used to plan a lot more, and now I barely plan anything, because to the point that I'll book accommodation for like maybe the first part of the trip, but then not the rest of it, because you don't know what's going to happen. And if you leave room for things to happen, good things will happen, kind of thing. Better things will happen than what you could plan for. So planning less is really good. It is scary, but it all works out at the end of the day, and it really does work out better than you could expect if you allow it to. Anyway, so it's really funny, that trip as well with Sam. I didn't have my phone, and I ended up going to this shopping center one day, and Sam and his friend that he was living with went to the gym. They were working at the same language school, and they had work that afternoon. They ended up locking themselves out of the apartment, and they had to come to the shopping center to find me because I was the only one that had a key. And I think it costs a lot of money if you have to get the real estate agent or someone to come give you a spare key in Japan. So they came to this shopping center, massive, massive shopping center. And I remember getting my name called out over the loudspeaker in this random shopping center in Japan. I was like, why is my name getting called out? Oh my God, what has happened to my parents? Like, why are they calling me here? Like, I thought I always think the worst when it's that kind of stuff. And so I thought maybe something had happened to my parents. And then I was like, how am I meant to find like the info sent? Like, I just didn't even know what to do. And I could hear my name getting called out and I was getting stressed. And then as I was kind of like running around trying to find where to go, I ended up bumping into Sam and he ended up asking for the key and telling me what had happened, and it all went fine. So anyway, let's go back. So my travel really ramped up. Like, up to that point, I had only really been going to Japan. I went to Rome for a university subject because I did arts at university as well as science. So part of my arts degree, I did Japanese, and then I decided to do an architecture subject because it meant I could go to Rome, and I was just obsessed with going anywhere I could. So I went to Rome, and my first impression of Rome was it is filthy. Japan is so much cleaner. I like Japan better. So I didn't love Rome, but I think if I went back now, I would have a different appreciation for it. Anyway, so that time I went to Rome, actually, I turned vegetarian for pretty much that whole trip, which was a month. And then for the rest of the year, once I returned, and can't say I would go back to being vegetarian. 2016, I think, was the year that was kind of a turning point in my life, to be honest, because that's when I became a personal trainer. And then it was my first trip to the USA alone. And same thing, I didn't take a phone in 2016. Am I kidding? Like, I can't believe it. So I went to Cabo for a wedding, and then I went off to the US alone afterwards because all my friends at the wedding were in a couple and I wasn't. So I went to Austin without a phone and didn't realize the streets in Texas are so damn big, you can't walk everywhere. But I had to because I didn't have a phone and I couldn't use Uber. And so I ended up hiking around Austin just to get anywhere. Like, just to get coffee, I had to walk half an hour, kind of thing, you know. But it was still fun. And that trip, I actually was waiting in line for it was Texan barbecue at this like famous restaurant. And I ended up meeting this old American guy. And then, what do you know, we have our Texan barbecue together. And he's in Texas, Austin, waiting for his son to arrive so they can go camping and shooting. And he was like, oh, I'm still waiting for him. I've got nothing to do this afternoon. Do you want me to show you around Texas? And I was like, why not? Let's go for it. So it sounds so dangerous looking back at it now and talking about it now. But at the time, I promise you, it was fine. So I jumped in the van. He had a van. Like, what was I thinking? Jumped in the van and ended up going around Texas and getting to see some really cool things around Austin. And we went to some other little town nearby, went to Bucky's, which is this fuel station there, a massive giant fuel station where you can buy everything under the sun. It was amazing. I had the best time that I would never have had if I hadn't have just gone with it, even though I kind of took a risk by going with it, because he had a van, he had guns in the back of the van because he was going on a shooting trip. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. But anyway, so that was really fun. And then I went to Arizona after that, and my without a phone, right? This is all without a phone. Went to Arizona and went to the Desert Botanical Gardens, which I loved. Again, my Airbnb host booked me the Uber with his phone for me to get to the botanical gardens. And then I ended up getting a bus back to his Airbnb. And when I got back, he was like, "What the heck did you do getting a bus here? You don't get buses here by yourself." And so I got lucky, apparently. I don't even know how I ended up finding his. I'm pretty sure I got lost on that bus trip. But you know, that's half the fun of this, like exploring, getting a bit lost, and then having to figure things out. Like, I find that exciting. And one of my favorite things to do, especially in Japan, because Japan feels so safe, is to just explore and to run around the streets without a map, without any direction. And in Japan, it's amazing because you always can find your way back by following the crowds, and they usually end up taking you to a train station. And if you understand the train system in Japan, which I do, you'll always be able to get back home. So if there's any tip you take from this, study the train lines, learn them, and then just follow the crowds. The same thing works in Hong Kong. So 2018, let's jump to that, because that was the first time I went to Hong Kong. And it was actually 2018 was a wild year of travel for me because I went to 4 countries in the 1 year. I got very excited, I think. And so Hong Kong was interesting because it was the only country I've been to alone where I didn't understand the language. So I had been to Vietnam before, but that was with a boyfriend. So I kind of was with someone else, and it's totally different then. Still ended up getting ripped off massively by the, what are those car things called there? The tuk-tuk drivers. Yeah. Because the currency in Vietnam is so weird, like there's so many zeros attached, we ended up paying like $100 for something we thought cost $10, you know? Anyway, dumb mistake. But Hong Kong was fun because I literally didn't understand the language. I had no idea what the culture was going to be like. Japan, I've studied it. Like, I spent 5 years at university studying not only the language but also the culture. And because I've been there 16, like when I was 16 was the first trip to Japan. So it's part of my like everything, you know? Like, I understand it so well, whereas Hong Kong, I don't understand at all. And I went by myself. Like, how do I do these things? I don't know. Because I'm not someone that's super confident. Like, and I'm not street smart. I don't take risks generally, but the more leaps, I like to call them leaps because they feel a bit safer than a risk, right? But the more leaps I've taken, the more addictive it is, and then good things end up happening. And I think then I feel more comfortable doing it more often. But so I actually had a boyfriend at that time as well when I went to Hong Kong, and I remember he couldn't commit, so I was just like, okay, I'm gonna go with or without you. So if you can't commit, I don't do maybe. I don't do half. I do you're all in or you're all out. That's all. So 'cause he couldn't commit and say yes to coming or set a date, I ended up booking it myself and going by myself, and I had the best weekend ever. I literally flew 10 hours for a weekend in Hong Kong by myself because I felt like it. And what else? Same thing ended up happening though in Hong Kong. Because I was by myself, I ended up meeting this lady at a coffee shop with her kid. Her kid was super cute, and we had coffee together in the end. And then she invited me back to her place in Hong Kong, which had this like rooftop with views of the harbor, and it was just we had a party up there, and it was amazing. Hong Kong, by the way, if you go, it's cool, but the food and drink is so expensive, and the portions are massive. So the value is there. Like, It's expensive because you get massive portions, but if you go by yourself, you don't want a massive portion, right? So I would definitely recommend going there with someone and sharing the meals. But anyway, what else? So 2018, I went back to Tokyo as well, as you do, because I love it. And that is when I met my friend Dreamy. So if you follow me on Instagram, you will see my coffee stories every day. And when I have my laptop closed, you will see the cloud logo on my laptop. And I also have the cloud logo sticker thing on one of my phones. That is Dreamy's brand. I am Dreamy. So unfortunately, Dreamy is now in the stars. It's super sad. He died earlier this year in a car accident, and it's crazy. Like, the fact I got to meet him, I am so thankful, because he had one of those perspectives. Like, the whole Dream brand, I am Dreamy, is you can't kill a dream, and to keep dreaming, keep going towards your dreams, and anything is possible, basically. I probably didn't explain that very well, but I'm very thankful I got to meet him, because he definitely lived life to the fullest and kind of changed my perspective on a lot of things as well. So he actually, Dreamy, is from LA and I'm from Australia, and we ended up meeting in Tokyo. So it's actually very crazy. Dreamy introduced me to a lot of people as well in Tokyo, in LA, and one night in Tokyo, we ended up meeting. So Dreamy just knew everyone. He was so well connected. And we met this guy that called himself the King of Tokyo. And it is a night I will never forget, because this King of Tokyo guy, he was this big black man in Tokyo. So like stood out like crazy, because the Japanese are, you know, so generally smaller and white. And it was just, he was this big black guy with gold chains around his neck and wearing all the latest Gucci and designer. And then he picked us up in a stretch Hummer, like a Hummer in Tokyo. If you have not been to Tokyo, there are not that many cars in Tokyo. Like, the streets, it's very public transport friendly, and not that many people have cars, just because the public transport is so good, you don't need one, and it's very expensive to live in Tokyo. There's not a lot of space, so having to pay for a garage or find an apartment with a car space is almost impossible. So it's just easier not to have a car. So anyway, the fact he had a stretch Hummer, and then not only that, the King of Tokyo also had a house in Tokyo in the city with a front yard. Now, you don't get front yards in Tokyo, so it was just ridiculous. We ended up going to the house for a bit, and I was so tired. I think me, and so it was Dreamy's girlfriend, and I, and the King of Tokyo, sitting there in these super comfortable chairs he had, and I'm pretty sure I fell asleep, which, thinking about it now, probably very dangerous, but it felt fine at the time, you know? So anyway, after we had some time at his house, he took us to this apartment block that he happened to own, also in the middle of Tokyo. Like, I just could not believe how much real estate he had and how much money he obviously had in Tokyo. So he had this house in Tokyo, then he had an apartment building, but he lived in the Ritz-Carlton. So it was just crazy. This apartment block, there was like four levels, and he owned the whole thing, right? And on each level, there was a massive room that was like decked out in a different vibe, but like super expensive materials, like snake skin, and I don't do animal fur, but there was animal fur everything, and bars decked out with any alcohol you could ever want, super expensive stuff. It was crazy. So we had a drink there, music pumping, of course. And then we had our private party there. Like, it was just so crazy having like access to that, you know? And it was just in the middle of, like, you would never guess it was there. But I do remember being in one of those rooms thinking he could just trap us in here. Like, but I trusted Dreamy, you know, like I trusted Dreamy so much that I knew he wouldn't lead me to a situation that was going to get me in trouble. Anyway, we ended up leaving that and going to the Ritz-Carlton where he lived. And what do you know? He's got a private area in the restaurant in the Ritz-Carlton. So we went to this little private dining area and ate the best steak I have ever had. Wagyu, of course, and drank some wine and just had a really good night. And then I think we went to a nightclub after, actually. So the night just never ended, literally never ended. It turned into day. I remember leaving the nightclub and walking out and the sun was rising. And so I went back to my hotel, had a shower, and then just went out for coffee and started my day again. I actually really enjoy doing all-nighters when I go overseas. I don't do them ever in Australia. Well, actually, no, I have done them in Australia for New Year's. But like in high school and even university, I was always scared of doing all-nighters. But then going overseas, it's the best way to live because you get to experience more of overseas while you're there. And somehow I just don't feel tired. But I don't recommend it because it's not good for your health. But I do enjoy doing all-nighters when I go overseas to get more out of it, you know? Anyway, so that was that Tokyo trip. And I have been back to, or did go back to LA to meet Dreamy in LA as well. That was actually the same year, 2018 again. I went to the USA and Dreamy introduced me to another friend there, Tommy, who's an artist and who is amazing. And it was my last night in LA. I ended up getting an Uber to go meet Tommy in downtown LA because I was staying in Hollywood and that's a bit of a drive away from downtown LA. Anyway, Tommy was like, "What are you doing? Let's go have a drink." So I was like, "Why not?" Even though part of me couldn't be bothered because it was like 10 p.m. already and that's usually my bedtime, you know, but because it was my last night, I was like, I have to make the most of it and I have to get out of my comfort zone. I have to do something different. Like, I'm introverted. I like staying at home, but I really force myself to be open to opportunity and do things when I'm overseas. So I got an Uber there to downtown to his apartment. We had a drink at his apartment and then we ended up like going downstairs, waiting for an Uber outside on the street of his apartment block. And this crazy lady came up to us. I was like looking down. I wasn't asking for attention, but maybe it was my outfit. I remember wearing a bright yellow jumper. And I think for some reason that triggered her because she was like verbally abusing me for no reason. Well, she would have been high on something, but Tommy was like, "Let's go back inside and wait for the Uber inside." So we went and we were waiting in his like apartment foyer and foyer or lobby. I don't know what you call it. Anyway, we were waiting inside to stay away from her. And she kind of like was loitering around. And then all of a sudden she started kicking the door. And this door was a glass door. So she was kicking with all her strength, this glass door. And I just remember looking at it thinking, oh my God, that door is going to come in. And what do you know, next second, the glass just shatters everywhere. And it was so scary. But it happened so fast that it was just like, and I felt totally safe at the same time because I trusted Tommy and like he was cool. So it was fine, but it was still what the hell. And next minute, this security guard comes out of nowhere and is chasing her down the street. So it was so safe, but just so random and so weird. And we ended up going out, having a drink, and having a good night. Like, it's just so crazy how things happen. Anyway, that trip, I actually, whilst I was over that side of the world, I went to Canada for the first time as well. So 2018 was a year of many firsts, and I went to Canada. It was for a fitness event, and I remember, like, I really wanted to go to this fitness event when it came out, like, started being advertised, because one of my friends was going to the event, and I thought, oh, that'll be cool, that'll be a good experience, any excuse to kind of go somewhere overseas. But I couldn't afford it at the time. And this is something you have to understand. If something is important to you and you really want to do it, you will make a way to make it happen. And so I couldn't afford it at the time, but I was like, how can I make this happen? And I literally asked the universe, I'm like, how can I make this happen, universe? And then what ended up happening is I decided to get a housemate in the apartment that I was living in, because I own it, or own, well, I still own it, but I don't live there anymore. I got a housemate, and that is how I afforded going all the way to Canada for this fitness event. And we were there one night, it was the last night again, and we were out for dinner, having some drinks, having a great time. And then the place was closing. That was actually the first time I almost saw snow as well that night, because it was so cold. It was kind of like, I've never seen snow, and I don't experience snow ever, so I don't know what it's called exactly, but it was kind of like raining, that thicker rain, or like it was almost snow. And I was really excited because I thought maybe the next morning I'd wake up and it would be snow, but it wasn't. It wasn't enough. So anyway, that night, I just thought of another story in my head and it distracted me. We ended up going back to the hotel that we were staying in. This conference was in the middle of nowhere. It was like outside of Toronto by an hour, I think. I can't remember the suburb. It's like Mississauga or something like that. I can't pronounce it, but that's where it was. And so we went back to the hotel. Their bar was closing as well. We were like, what can we do? We were hyped up. We wanted to do things. We ended up going back to the room, and the two boys that I was with, they had a cigar from, I don't know where. They're from Australia, these kids. I don't know if they brought the cigar from Australia, or I think they did, but I don't know how. Anyway, we ended up having this cigar on the balcony, and it was a really good night. Like, first time doing a cigar. I don't think I'll do one again. I didn't really enjoy it, but it was a fun experience nonetheless. And on in that trip actually as well, going to Canada. So for all of you listening that don't know, to get from Australia anywhere, it takes so long. It's such a pain. Like, even to go to Hong Kong, it was 10 hours. To get to Japan, it's like 10 hours. To get to Canada from Australia, it's 30 hours. Like, literally takes 14 or 15 hours to LA, and then there's a layover of like 3 to 4 hours, and then it's another, wait, did I say 30 hours? So maybe it's 24 hours. But by the time you do all the like driving to the airport and stuff like that, it usually takes around 30 hours. So it's a long trip. And it's very exhausting. It's 6 hours, yeah. So LA to Canada is 6 hours, so yeah. Anyway, it's a very, very long trip. And that was my first time. Remember, like, even though I knew these friends going to the fitness event, I was still going by myself overall. And going off, I went to the US after by myself. So I arrived in Canada, in Toronto Airport. And Air Canada, for some reason, put my suitcase on a different plane that was coming in the next day. So I arrived in Canada with pretty much what I wore on the plane, because I thought I would just have everything in my suitcase and I didn't want to carry that much on the plane. So I had all my heavy jumpers and jackets and stuff in my suitcase still, had like a light cardigan on me because I get really hot when I fly and I hate, like, I can't be hot on the plane, otherwise I feel sick. So I literally had a light cardigan and it was November in Canada. It was cold. And I remember the next day I was like, stuff this, I'm gonna go. I went to Victoria's Secrets, ended up spending like $500 there, and then went and got some other things as well. And then I had travel insurance. So I claimed it on travel insurance, and the travel insurance company didn't like something. So this is really naughty, but anyway, I don't usually do things like this. But because they weren't happy, like my trip was interrupted, right? And I'm paying lots of money for travel insurance. I should get something from them to support my interruptions and the fact I had no clothing the next day. So my suitcase ended up arriving the next day in the afternoon, so I could have really survived for the morning. But instead, I made it look like on my evidence to the travel insurance company, I made it look like it came the next day. And if it came the next day instead of that day earlier, I got money from them. So anyway, that was naughty. I'm not usually naughty, but what else? I think that is all I will share for this episode. Travel, I love it. I highly recommend it. Doing it by yourself and being open to opportunity, listening to your intuition, obviously. I feel like there was more I wanted to share, but maybe not. I had many, many fun trips overseas, and I think, yeah, just not planning so much, learning to flow with things, learning to let the opportunities come to you, and that's where I'm going to leave it. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I am planning to get a friend on for next week, so we will see if that happens. If you have any questions or if you want to hear anything in particular on this podcast, please let me know. I'm always open to ideas. If you want to check out my website, please do so. I put that in the show notes. It is coachjodie.com. And thank you for listening.